This is The New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 604. It is Friday morning, sitting down here in the studio, put up the radio show, FTP'd the radio show last night, so we're going to do the Bob Davis Podcast radio show number 67 in this podcast. No snowstorm in the Twin Cities. The snow hit to the south, and everybody up here is really upset, which is why I said in the snowstorm podcast that the warnings of this horrible winter storm that was going to strike us, were actually aspirational, because we felt that, the warm weather was something we didn't deserve. So a lot of people talking about that today. So anyway, I'm sitting here drinking my coffee. We're just going to go ahead and roll segment one of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Here we go. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the podcasts, visit the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Welcome back. So I have a whole show planned, obviously, for this show. I usually do. I like to plan the shows. I like to think about what I'm going to talk about and do it. And I'm sitting here just looking through the paper and so forth. And as I do these shows, every now and then something comes up, and it sits on my mind, it prevents me from talking about other stuff, or it just sticks in my craw and I can't, the show doesn't flow for me because I am frustrated about something. And this week, I'm not frustrated necessarily about politics. I'm not frustrated about the horrible things going on in the world. I'm not frustrated because I think that, this, that, or the other thing. I'm frustrated because of the format and the restrictions and the straitjacket that I will call radio formatting and radio broadcast media in general, in particular, radio. And this is this problem where I sit down to do a show and I have just about 10 minutes in the first segment, and I have just about 9 minutes in the second segment, and I have just about 10 minutes in the third segment, and I have just about 10 minutes in the last segment. And this is, pretty much, all across the industry, this is the norm. This is the way we do radio, and we've done it this way forever. And I think it's terrible because of several things. First of all, one of the things I've learned about doing podcasting, I've been doing podcasting since 2009, and I have over 600 podcasts. Aside from the fact that you don't have to keep repeating things over and over again, you are able to advance the story. You're able to carry a train of thought through a 35 or 40 or 30 or 50 minute podcast. And the other thing is, there's no time restrictions. If I want to do two podcasts that are 40 minutes and one podcast that's 30, I can. And then once you say something, you don't have to keep saying it, because that podcast lives on the internet forever. So you can move that around and you can re-promote it and you can post it on Facebook, an old podcast about something that I did, like I did this week with something. And it enables you to advance your thinking, to grow your thinking, and hopefully have the audience grow with you. Unfortunately, radio doesn't do that. Radio is forced to pound on the same themes and react to the same things, as well as cable television and all the broadcast media pound and so forth on the same things. The other thing is, I do my podcast and I do my show in my home studio. And in radio, you're not supposed to have any noises. And oftentimes, I find myself fighting noises. Like right now, there's a plane out there. You probably can't hear it if you're listening on AM radio. But if you're listening, to the podcast on the BobDavisPodcast.com, the podcast of this show, you can hear that. Now, normally that kind of sound doesn't bother me because I like ambient sound. I like it if people next door are doing stuff, playing music or whatever. I like it if the washer or dryer is on, but in radio, you're not supposed to do that. And that's also irritating for me. And it's a sign of the times, because it's a sign of new media. And in this case, in particular, in terms of spoken word, in terms of news talk, talk. I don't like using the term spoken word. This is a phrase that people in talk radio developed to make themselves sound sophisticated, French or something. To me, it's always been news talk, and I'm a news talk listener and a news talk talk show host and everything else. So it's always been news talk. But what I find more and more these days with broadcast media is I find people being forced to operate under basic assumptions, like you're supposed to promote what you're going to talk about it, then tell people what you talked about. And you're supposed to talk about the most important topics of the day. And you're supposed to hit the same themes. And being on every day, what you end up doing is you end up constantly reacting. And we are living in an increasingly reactive media atmosphere, and it is driving people crazy because the real world does not progress as quickly as a day-to-day radio show or a day-to-day cable news show or whatever. So what you end up with is this constant reaction, and then what happens is people repeat what they hear, and they don't do their own research, and they don't develop their own principles, and they don't understand what's going on, so they just repeat what someone else said because it sounds good. So if it's about the Constitution, you've probably got a go-to guy that you will say, well, this is what so-and-so says. And if it's about women's issues, you've got a go-to guy who says this or that about women's issues. Or if it's a story that that developed a lot of reaction, you're talking about it because everybody else is talking about it. We're not generating our own content in particular in the circles that I know, the people on the right in general. The people that are making progress are people that have gone to digital media and are able to advance the stories. And this isn't supposed to be a big, put down of radio. You know, I've been in radio for a long time. I love radio, but the business is finding it very, very difficult to address these issues in a meaningful way. And I don't know what can be done. It's funny because when I started doing podcasting, I didn't want to start doing podcasting. Somebody in radio told me if I wanted a job, I should start podcasting. And I was furious. And I've often talked about how furious I was. Then I started doing it and I realized how much fun it was. And now I have become almost a pure play podcaster, with the exception of this show, which actually was originally intended to bring content from the podcast back to the radio show. And I ended up, every week just saying, this is not going to work as well as me just developing new content. And so when I start developing new content, there's so many things to talk about that would advance the story. So let me give you an example. This week everybody's talking about the whole thing with Milo, the self-appointed media provocateur who, a conservative group apparently, nailed Milo with one of his own tricks, which is basically, here's a tape of him, I'm going to say allegedly purporting to condone pedophilia. And of course, he's in big trouble. He's lost his job at Breitbart, or he had to quit, lost his book deal. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And what's amusing to me is conservative, quote unquote, conservatives. There's another word that doesn't make any sense because people on the radio just keep repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. And people in politics just keep repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. It is virtually meaningless. But this whole Milo thing has provoked a discussion in conservative circles, and it certainly has been a discussion in left wing circles, liberal circles, so to speak, for a long time. And this is this question of personalities versus principles. And suddenly now you have all these now everyone's vying to be the new provocateur or the new go-to guy that everybody posts his or her videos or his quotes. Well, you know what Milo says about that? You know what this guy says about that? That way I don't have to do any thinking because this other person has done my thinking for me. Now they're suddenly saying, we ought to look at principles. And it's funny because I've been saying that as far back as I can remember, but in particular since the beginning of 2016 when I first started going out on the campaign trail. And I realized that you have people who don't know anything calling talk radio stations. You have people who don't know anything being interviewed on television after a big political event. You have people who don't know anything repeating what people who don't know anything are saying. And sure enough, in real life, this has now started to unravel. So I want to talk a little bit about principles, but there's a perfect example. Because there's so much reactive media, we're not getting a chance to advance a story. And actually, I find it really constrictive. It's like a straitjacket creatively, the difference between this radio show and my podcasts. And people have started to say, you know, the radio show podcasts aren't as good as the podcast, which I think is great because I love podcasting. And I'm not going to talk about it again. I just have to get it off my chest because it has to do with whether I want to continue doing this anyway, because I don't know that it's a good thing for the podcast since I've become pretty much a pure play podcaster. And I will talk more about that in the future. Now, next segment, we're going to see, I have to break now. Next segment, we're going to talk about Bill Gates, who says we should tax robots if they're going to do the jobs humans do. We got to talk about that coming up. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Ahead of segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Well, I want to talk about my favorite sports drink. This is the sports drink that gets you hydrated with no sugar. And that is, of course, Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S. And if you want to know more, you go to hydrusperformance.com. I just want to talk very quickly about the ordering process because it's pretty easy. And then once you order, you're going to get emails that tell you, hey, your order's on the way. Hey, it's been delivered. Look for it so you know. It's not one of these things where you order it and then it takes weeks to get. And what is Hydrus? Well, if you do a lot of things like CrossFit or cycling or lifting or competitive sports, or if you hunt or if you play tennis and you sweat a lot of people don't realize you can get super dehydrated. You can get dehydrated, and of course I'm exaggerating, but dehydration will, you know, really negatively affect your performance, and it'll keep you from really practicing whatever it is that you do on the edge where you can grow. You know, in my case, I do a lot of yoga and I sweat a lot. You're in rooms of over 100 degrees, and I thought soreness went with the territory, especially getting towards the end of the week. The thing about it is now with Hydrus, I can just crank through and I can get down to what wrestlers call the grind, which is where you grow. Hydrus is a new high-performance beverage that uses exclusive new technology to deliver critical electrolytes into your muscles with unrivaled speed and effectiveness. What does that mean? Very quickly, if you drink water before you practice something, whether it's cycling or yoga, it can take 30 minutes for you to be fully hydrated. This works immediately. Hydrus works super fast, and it helps you take it to the edge. So if you want to order, or if they have two great flavors, orange, they have a new lemon lime flavor that's very crisp, and it's very good. Join the performance hydration revolution. That's hydrusperformance.com, H-Y-D-R-U-S, hydrusperformance.com, hydrusperformance.com. A lot of content on the page. Tells you a lot about Hydrus and who's using it, CrossFit athletes, wrestling people, you know, all kinds of people using Hydrus, hydrusperformance.com, or you can just click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page. Okay, here's segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the Bob Davis podcasts and to sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. Well, we talked about a little bit about change, at least as it pertains to the media, in the first segment of the show this week. And of course, welcome back. There's no doubt the idea of change, and in particular the idea of robots and something called artificial intelligence, has everybody spooked, from the lowly factory workers to professionals. Yes, professionals like doctors and lawyers, and I don't know what you'd call them, skilled labor like train and bus drivers. And without going into too much detail, the word robot conjures up some kind of dystopian world most of the time when you hear the word. This is a place where humans are enslaved and overcast skies prevail, and machines with their damnable logic run the world. And we humans live in places that seem to be lit primarily by fluorescent lighting. The thing is, what is a robot? Well, a robot is simply a machine capable of carrying out a complex series of actions automatically, especially ones programmed by a computer. And what is artificial intelligence? Usually artificial intelligence is the thing we can't quite get computers to do yet. That's the next thing is kind of artificial intelligence. Notwithstanding how robots are portrayed in movies, yes, a robot can look humanoid. Or it can look like anything. I mean, it can be autonomous software that automates some mundane tasks. You know, those manual checkout, the automatic checkout systems at grocery stores, those are robots. There are autonomous elements of spreadsheet programs like Excel, database programs where you automate certain functions, video and audio editing software, programmable functions that can be automated. And we've all, of course, seen the giant robots on the floor of auto factories performing thousands of spot welds. What we are not prepared for, apparently, are robots that talk to you and make decisions based on what you say, even though you talk to them all the time, and sometimes you don't even know when you're talking to an autonomous machine. So when we start talking about robots that drive cars, fly airplanes, drive buses and trains, perform intake jobs at the hospital, perform even nursing and some doctor functions so that doctors and nurses can do more important tasks, well, then we're talking about something completely different. And while Donald Trump is talking about bringing all the jobs we lost to China and Mexico back to the United States, the sad fact is, even when companies spend hundreds of millions of dollars, billions even, to build plants in the United States, they are building largely autonomous plants, and the jobs that they're creating actually are pretty highly skilled IT positions most of the time, usually and sometimes requiring college degrees. And I think it's safe to predict that within the next 20 years or so, we're going to see most manufacturing functions in the United States and across the world becoming automated. In fact, most functions that can be automated today will be automated. Robots will not only build things from start to finish, they will also do all kinds of other functions because here's the deal. They never get sick. They never get tired. They don't complain about their pay. They perform the same repetitive function the exact same way every time, day after day, month after month, year after year. So everything will be made by machines. They will be made better and they will be cheaper to you and I because of it. But because of this, and what are robots? What are autonomous machines? What is artificial intelligence? They are tools. That's all they are. It's the spanner wrench, but it's a new century, a new time, and we have new tools for things. And because people are afraid of these things they don't understand, we've got to do something about it. God forbid your job at the bucket factory goes to a damn machine. Oh, wait, you work at an advertising agency. Oh, wait, you do digital marketing. Oh, wait, you do software development. Oh, wait, you're a yoga teacher. Or wait, you work at a natural food store. You don't work at the Bucket Factory and you don't want to work at the Bucket Factory? Well, you know, that's the whole point. Those kinds of functions are functions that we should automate. Concern about illegal aliens coming over the border to do agricultural work, for example? Well, they have new machines that will not only pick, but also perform watering, weeding, and other functions. So all the work Americans just won't do, and that's one of my favorites, because there are better things to do. There will soon be machines to do all the work we don't want to do because there are better things to do. Now, we just can't have that because, as you know, once these machines destroy all the jobs at the bucket factory, there will be no more jobs. Don't you understand? Right? Well, I guess you will live in a shiftless life of poverty. Your children will grow up on the street. All the color will drain out of the happy picture that is life today in America. What's to be done? Well, don't worry because Bill Gates has an answer. Here's Gates' answer to all this, interviewed by Quartz about what must be done about these horrible robots.
Right now, if a human worker does, $50,000 worth of work in a factory, that income is taxed. If a robot comes in to do the same thing, you'd think that we'd tax the robot at a similar level. I don't think the robot companies are going to be outraged that there might be a tax. It's okay.
You know, we've got to get away from this idea that taxation and government, money flowing to government, is the solution to all of our problems. And it's always presented as it's going to help children and it's going to help people in nursing homes. And we want human beings to do these tasks. Not necessarily. You know, I know people that live in nursing homes. My mom was in a nursing home for a while. And let me tell you, some of the human beings are terrible at what they do. Some of the people in those nursing homes would be quite happy to have an android that knew how to do the job, actually do the job. But that doesn't stop Bill Gates. He wants to tax them. He wants to tax these machines. And of course, the companies won't mind because, you know, Grandma and Grandpa need someone to help them with their bedpans. So a machine that replaces humans, freeing them for other work, should be taxed, really, to make it more expensive for that machine to be used. We all know that the largest cost center in business today is, of course, the employee. And why we would pay taxes using machines to eliminate employee or employer costs is beyond belief to me, because, you know, just because you're famous doesn't mean that you know what you're talking about. We need fewer taxes, not more. We need to free up human capital. We need less government, not more. And the quicker that process can take place, where companies can make products that people want for the cheapest possible price and sell at the highest possible price, the quicker we can all find new jobs that don't include the robot factory. And yes, robot barista, I will have a venti Italian roast clover with an extra shot. 39 cents? Done. Coming up, where do you live and what's in your wallet? The most pro-business states. Where are they and how do I move there? Next. Now, I talk about technology a lot, and if you want to hear more podcasts about technology, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. Also, to sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, you visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Just ahead of segment three of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show, there's something new and fun to do these days, whether it is a date night, business client appreciation event, a corporate team building event, something with your family, or a friend's night out. It's at Brush Studio West End in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. Now, I can tell you that an artist will guide you through making and creating a painting. And I can tell you that you'll come away with a real painting, something you can hang on your walls at home or at work, something you and your friends and your coworkers or your family would be really proud of. But the other night, I actually went over to Brush Studio, and it's actually better if I take you inside a Brush Studio event a little bit, and you can kind of hear the reaction and what people do. So let's go on into Brush Studio.
Do you mind if I ask you some questions?
Sure.
You guys having fun?
Yes. Yeah, tons of fun.
What are you painting?
We're painting birch trees and in the nighttime with a little cardinal.
So they give you paint, right?
Yeah, and you just follow the people at the front.
The person at the front.
Yeah, the person at the front. And then you just follow their breaks and everything. And yeah, I don't know.
It's really fun.
Different thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, on a Friday night.
And a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're having a good time. We got the whole family here.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So
I got my wife and our two sons and their fiance and one's girlfriend.
I didn't even know I could.
This is probably the most fun you can have at a job. Seriously.
My favorite part is when people just completely go off the rails and do something that I would never think of or other people wouldn't think of, but they came here with like an intention. It's a thing to do on a Friday night that isn't watching TV, isn't going to a movie. You're being social with a group. You get a little wine or something, but it's not like that's all you're, at, like at a bar, that's all you're there to do, you know. I've been teaching for 22 years, and I make all kinds of stuff on my own.
You look like an artist. You have fun?
Oh,
you
absolutely.
You look like an artist.
I just found my inner artist.
Your inner artist.
Brush Studio in the West End St. Louis Park. 22 brands of beer, an extensive wine collection, catering from Crave in the West End. You're going to have a good time because they are event planning ninjas at Brush. Date night, client appreciation, corporate team building, family, friends. They'll all be great. Sign up online at Brush Studio in the West End St. Louis Park at brushstudio.net. Brushstudio.net, or you can reach out to Brush at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. Brush Studio. So remember, date night business, corporate events, family, friends night out. Classes tend to fill up fast. Sign up online at brushstudio.net. That's brushstudio.net. And thanks, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Here is segment three. Listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Welcome back. So let me take a sip of coffee here. Where do you live? Speaking of taxes and government, where do you live and what do you do? Now, a lot of us out here are trying to start small businesses, which we hope very much become large businesses, employing people, providing a product or service people want and even need, you know, being good citizens, that kind of thing. And the thing about, thing I've learned about business is one of the first things you learn is how expensive employees are and how expensive taxation is. And so taxes are really, really key, and regulation are really key to small businesses, and especially growing small businesses into larger businesses. Now, some of us live in states that make it almost impossible to start and run a business for any length of time. In some of these states, I guess it isn't a problem for the mega corporations. I don't know how they get around it, but somehow they do. But it's the small businesses scaling up to be bigger businesses that can't take advantage of things like tax increment financing and special deals to build plants and so forth. We find onerous tax, regulatory, and citizenship burdens just too much. So when I think about my small business, I'm a podcaster and a consultant. I obviously think about moving it to a state which is business friendly, because Minnesota ain't. No way, no how. And it doesn't matter which party is in control of the state legislature in my state. I doubt very seriously if they will ever clear out the rat's nest of anti-business legislation that this state has foisted on its people for decades, Republicans or Democrats. Anyway, where would be best to go? That's what I think. And of course, we all think about the Southwest and different places, but there's a new survey which shows which states are the most business-friendly states. The Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, SBE, has just released its annual ranking of 50 states. Taxes, regulations, and excessive red tape and fees are all business and job killers and often have a disproportionate effect on small and new businesses, according to the top line data of the survey. Well, here's the list. Here are the states that are the most business friendly in the United States. Number one, of course, is Nevada. Number two is Texas. Number three is South Dakota. Number four is Wyoming, surprisingly. And number five is Florida. The worst states really shouldn't surprise you at all. Vermont, Bernie Sanders' home state. Minnesota is number two, Al Franken and Keith Ellison's home state. New York, which of course is Donald Trump's home state, New Jersey, and of course, bringing up the rear, California, the golden state. Now, the really surprising thing about this data is how little the worst states do to improve their rankings. In fact, there's quite a big debate going on in Minnesota, the land of 10,000 taxes, about whether the top 1% are leaving the state and taking their money with them. Just as an aside, very quickly, you know, I traveled a lot last year covering the campaigns, and I have to tell you, when you go to Texas and you're from the upper Midwest and not South Dakota or North Dakota, where there is a lot of business development, but in Minnesota, you know, things are okay here. It's not like things are bad. But when you go to Texas and see the development and the size of these cities, it's truly shocking how many people are moving to Texas and how many people are moving to Nevada and South Dakota and North Dakota, you know, and Florida. And here's why. Real annual growth among the top 25 business-friendly states was 37% higher than the bottom 25 in general. It isn't just high taxes. It's the number of taxes that can drown a new small business. Personal income tax, individual capital gains tax, individual dividends and interest tax, corporate income tax, corporate capital gains taxes, individual alternative minimum taxes, corporate alternative minimum taxes, property taxes, sales taxes, gross receipts and excise taxes, death taxes, unemployment taxes, internet taxes, which is ridiculous, remote seller taxes, gas taxes, diesel taxes, and wireless taxes. The Washington Times asks the question in their piece about this survey. If you were a small business person burdened with all of this, at what point would you give up? Well, just knowing this makes me think, well, gee, if I get to be much larger, I am going to move to South Dakota because that's the closest, you know, haven for me. I'm up here in Minnesota. We're going to talk about principles in this show. You just heard me talk about taxes vis-a-vis Bill Gates's brilliant idea of taxing tools. Basically, that's what robots are. They are tools. Human beings make tools. And we just now today have the capability to make very sophisticated tools to do work for us so that we can go find better things to do. And one of my favorite things is, well, there'll be no more jobs. The thing is, when people started working on farms, and then they were moved to, they started to move to cities like London to work in factories, and Pawtucket, Rhode Island, to move in and to work in factories off of the farm. Did anybody ever think then that someday people would be making aircraft or spaceships or computers, those types of things, or building giant cement highways or any of the things that we have done over the years that the Industrial Revolution has given us that so many people were opposed to and so scared of? So yeah, we're going to talk about principles in this show. And I think people, and I mean voters, need to spend some time thinking about rules and regulations and taxes and states that make it almost impossible to grow businesses. And when I hear people like Bill Gates, as I said, saying we should tax robots, or Donald Trump decrying cheap labor in Mexico or China, to me, that just means more regulation. It means goods and services, including money, will even be more likely to move and be transferred from producer to provider to consumer with a swipe or a tap. And that means you can move money with a swipe or a tap. The norm is becoming design firms in the U.S. that specialize in providing a service or a product and marketing that service or product, but increasing the product is either made by low-cost labor, eventually it will be made by machines. To me, one of the principles of conservatism, if you'll pardon the use of the word, has always been free markets. You should be able, well, I won't even say should. It is a natural right to be able to buy your supplies and labor at the lowest cost to you and sell your goods and labor for the highest you can get. And the government really shouldn't have much to say about that. And it also shouldn't tax your trade out of existence, so to say, because someone somewhere doesn't like it, or because somebody thinks that it will do this or it will do that, or tell you this is the way you should make your widgets or build your wagons or whatever it is that you're trying to do. Now, conservatives these days talk a lot about how much they hate government. Yet in Minnesota, we are actually asking the government to intervene to see that we either don't sell liquor on Sundays or sell liquor on Sundays. This is one of the dumbest, stupidest, longest-running political arguments in the United States. And we have a government that wants to protect steel manufacturers, for example, or anything else. It's the same kind of thinking, whether it comes from the right or the left, that we have to have the government intervene. And of course, when the government intervenes, it requires taxes to intervene because people have to be paid to decide how, when, and where that intervention will happen. And of course, generally that involves guns. Guns have to be used so that these people who are intervening can be safe. What's really amusing is the list of the top five states most unfriendly to business is a who's who of failed statist policy. Vermont, California, Minnesota, New York, and New Jersey. Now, the politicians like to talk about taxes, and we would all like lower taxes, especially those of us in the business unfriendly high tax states like California and Minnesota and Vermont. But there's more than tax issues here. There's regulation issues, there's central government planning, often by unelected bodies, and a lot more. And it seems to me that this is really the core of the problem in this country, and yet we have a lot of people who have R's in front of their name who are actually talking about fencing off competition or intervening or fixing things, which requires taxes to have the government intervene and so forth, right? Coming up, a self-proclaimed agent provocateur who became a Pied Piper to conservatives is brought down by conservatives. When will Republicans learn the lesson? Principles over personality. Then again, what principles? Next. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Yeah, one of the things that is a question of principle for people who call themselves conservatives is this question of free trade versus trade protectionism. Trade protection has generally been a Democrat policy idea, and economists generally don't like it. But the fact is, it's in the news a lot these days, and a lot of companies are talking about at least bringing a portion of their foreign manufacturing back to the United States, if nothing else, to curry favor with the new administration. And as companies prepare to do this, they're finding out sometimes it is better to manufacture in the United States quality-wise and better to manufacture in the United States because you're close to the markets. And if that works for you, if your company is considering American manufacturing, remember DepoStar, D-E-P-O-T, DepoStar, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing. Visit their website at DepoStar.com. If your company is considering bringing back production to the United States, you want to find a good American manufacturer, and that is DepoStar at DepoStar.com. Remember, there's something fun and new to do, whether it's date night, business, corporate events, family, or friends night out at Brush Studio in the West End St. Louis Park. And as I said earlier, classes tend to fill up, so sign up online at brushstudio.net or reach out to Brush, 952-236-1700, 952-236-1700. They're in the West End in St. Louis Park. Lots of parking available there. And don't forget Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S. If you are working out and you're getting sore, and you're getting tired, you could be dehydrated. Hydrus is the new high-performance beverage that gets you hydrated really, really fast and doesn't use sugar. It's great. I've been using it for a long time. Just got a massive new shipment in. Really excited. Check them out online at HydrusPerformance.com. That's HydrusPerformance.com. Okay, here's segment four of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. Welcome back. So, to end the show, I want to talk about principles over personalities a little bit. And most of this is going to focus on the right, although I think a lot of it can be applied to the left. It's just that this week we have developments which clearly show a rift on the right and this question of personalities over principle on the right. So nobody can pronounce his actual name, so everybody calls him Milo. Milo's videos and articles are constantly posted on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. people basically post them on Facebook as a what he said argument. And here's how that works. Somebody says something you don't agree with, go find a Milo video, and bam, they're done. They are down. The standard method of argument from the right wing, and probably the left wing, I see it with my left wing friends too, is you either post an article that somebody says something in, or you repeat something someone says, or you post a video from that person. And it's even better if that person is a bomb thrower, an agent provocateur, which Milo described himself as. Now, it doesn't matter what you thought of Milo. Actually, it doesn't even matter if you don't know who Milo is. I can't imagine what rock you've been living under, but anyone who can cause left-wingers to spontaneously combust is someone that is actually something, right? Some on the so-called far-right, and I hate to use the term far-right or alt-right because I really don't know if that is a descriptive term, but let's just say it's another part of the far-right, apparently did not agree about Milo. I'm not saying the alt-right because Milo was an alt-right kind of guy. This was the Never Trump crowd. This week, something called the Reagan Battalion ran a videotape of Milo on some talk show at some point in the past, suggesting that there are some young people below the age of consent who do not have a problem with pedophilia or something like that. Oops! Firestorm, end of book deal, out of CPAC, the Vatican conclave of the conservative world where everyone, and I mean everyone, wants to don their best cardinal robes and little red hats and be seen at CPAC. Out of that paragon of journalism, Breitbart, Milo goes. So no more posting of Milo videos when you get pissed off at somebody on Facebook, because if you do, you're a pedophile. So yeah, the right assassinated one of its own. Sure, it was from the Never Trump crowd, the principled conservative crowd. But yeah, the one guy who actually could take the fight to the left that used their tactics to attack them was defenestrated by the right. That was a drum roll, if you wondered. Let me do that better. There you go. It almost sounds like a timpani. So now we're being treated to the standard right-wing articles that appear all over the place in pajamas media and red state that say things like, well, we must have principles over personalities, things like that, and admonishing people. The problem for both Republicans and Democrats, though, is this pesky word principles. What is a principle? Well, a principle is simply defined as a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as a foundation for a system of belief or behavior or for a chain of reasoning. Let me repeat that. A fundamental truth or proposition that serves as the foundation for a system of belief or behavior or for a chain of reasoning. Okay? Sounds good. Now, what are the principles of the Republican Party? What are the fundamental truths or propositions that serve as a foundation for a system of belief or behaviors or for a chain of reasoning among people that call themselves quote-unquote conservatives, or better yet, people who call themselves Republicans? Oh, that's right. We're supposed to be talking about principles here. There was dead air for a second. Well, supposedly it's for free markets. Oh, wait, not really. And supposedly it's freedom, unless you're cranking up NSA surveillance on people you don't like, or if your agricultural lobby contributors want to make a deal with Cuba, well, then, you know, it's really not about freedom. It's supposed to be about lower deficits, living within our means and all that stuff. Except remember those continuing resolutions Republicans passed to keep the government going? And then it's supposed to be about freedom of religion, right? You know, for Christians. And what else? Well, the soft and wishy-washy right is very lax on principles in truth. And this is why Republicans in state legislatures can vote to misappropriate your tax dollars to build stadiums for billionaire team owners and then make sure they are entertained in the skyboxes for free. Shock. Democrats did that? Oh, no. Republicans helped push through the stadium deals in Minnesota and around the country. Or things like light rail, which infects all of the medium-sized and small major markets in the country, or to fund Obamacare exchanges that they should have left fail because, you know, Republicans are for free trade, right? And free markets, right? No, And so it goes. This softness on principle allows politicians and even the president of the United States, who claims he isn't a politician, although he is one of the best politicians that has ever lived, to say just about anything he wants and still claim to be quote unquote conservative. How about a $1 trillion stimulus? Because that's conservative. What does that do to the budget deficit? And let's send more troops to Syria, because war has always been a conservative principle, right? We're going to repeal Obamacare. That's what we're going to say on the campaign trail, because we don't believe in these big government programs. Except wait, we're getting a lot of emails and pressure in town hall meetings. So no, we're going to repair Obamacare. Yeah, that's right. And we're going to keep big government programs like Medicaid and Medicare Part D, Medicaid, as I said, and Social Security. We're going to cut corporate taxes, which is actually a good idea, while we spend more money to build the wall that's going to keep all those Mexicans out. So yeah, we'll be cutting taxes and spending more, which is not a good idea and not a conservative idea, because, you know, spending will stimulate the economy, because Republican principle is primarily Keynesian, right? Well, I mean, you know, if you want to go back to the Reagan battalion, I would suppose that Ronald Reagan is spinning in his grave when he looks at today's Republican Party. You see where I'm going with this? I don't want to rain on the parade, because Donald Trump and the Republicans could do a great job. In fact, this has been a good week for Trump. They could improve the economy. They could improve the stock market. As you know, it's already up, although I think the stock market, you can't necessarily just say, well, it's obviously because of the Republican, you know, government, Bob. We'll see. People are obviously buying more homes. There's optimism. And so maybe things are going to be good. This could herald a new age of American foreign policy. The Republicans and Donald Trump literally could make America great again. And certainly the people for Trump, and the people out there generally among the Republicans who are listening, I think, believe that he is doing exactly what he promised, which is actually refreshing. And they think that he is doing a good job. So regardless of that, Republicans and the president are not conservatives. So whether or not I credit Donald Trump with something good or attack him for something bad, none of that has anything to do with a word called conservative or even a word that is called Republican, because they are what they are. And those words don't apply to the right anymore. Now, if he is successful, it will not be due to so-called conservative principles. It will be due to something else entirely. Call it what you will, it isn't Republican and it isn't conservatism. I'm sorry. They have most of the country convinced, though, they are. Because Republicans, and I suppose Democrats too, don't arrive at principles these days because they have studied and lived them. And I'm not talking about the people serving. I'm talking about people who self-identify as Republicans and Democrats. They have not arrived at principles because they have studied and lived them, as well as principles that they might not agree with. And they have arrived at a set of personal and collective principles and believe in them because of what they have learned, not posting videos that Milo did. And by the way, where would a Republican be exposed to so-called conservative principles these days? Not at the Tea Party meeting, which is run by two guys that get up and do the dog and pony show every week. Not at a state party or local political function where the people in charge tell you what you'll believe and what you won't. Not at the state legislature where the first thing that they do is round you up and tell you you're going to play or we will make your life miserable. So when the commentator or the blog or the Fox News says we have to fight for principles over personalities, what exactly are they talking about? And then think to yourself about whether you understand why they are saying what they are saying, and more importantly, whether or not you agree with them and why, based on what you have learned. And I don't mean to be cheeky, I just don't think there's enough basic self-education about economic and social ideas among the Republicans I know, about politics in general. And I hear a lot of bellowing, usually taking the form of one-sided social media comments, and not much talk or chatter without misspelling words like bureaucracy or colonel or misquoting history. People on the right have a lot of work to do. The election of Trump might be the change you were waiting for, but if you want a future, you're going to have to do a lot more than that. That's going to do it for this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Poop. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show.
Fighting flames of fire, hang on to burning wires, we don't care anymore. Are we fading lovers? We keep wasting colors.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts on the stream at the website, thebobdavispodcasts.com. A lot of people coming to the stream. It's just like radio. You hit the website, it starts playing. If you're on a smartphone, you might have to initiate it depending on what iteration phone you have. Sometimes it plays automatically and sometimes it doesn't, I've been told. You can also get the Bob Davis Podcasts at iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher.com, BlogTalkRadio.com, and the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show at GCNLive.com. And on the Patriot in Minneapolis at 11 p.m. on Sundays. Appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting on social media, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, of course, and your donations for mobile podcast command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 604, the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show for this week. Bye-bye. Yeah, I'll have a sip of coffee. It's party time.